Peak Oil Check-In, exploring the end of the age of oil.
Earlier this month, on the 39th anniversary of the launch of Apollo 11, the first spacecraft to carry humans to the surface of the moon, Al Gore proposed a challenge at least as bold as John F. Kennedy's 1961 challenge to land a man on the moon and bring him back safely by the end of the decade. Gore proposed that the United States commit to generating 100% of its electricity renewably and from what he called truly clean carbon-free sources within 10 years. He touted a combination of wind and solar for U.S. electricity needs. Regardless of whether 100% renewable electricity is achievable within 10 years, Gore's challenge is a sort of bold goal that we need at a time when business as usual is leading us off a cliff, economically, environmentally, and security-wise. For me, Gore's challenge is also an excuse to revisit comments I made at the beginning of this year about the possibilities of substituting electricity for oil. At the time, oil had just closed at $100 a barrel for the first time. How much can electricity substitute for oil? There are limits, partly because oil is an energy-dense liquid fuel. You can pour it in your gas tank and carry large amounts of energy, long distances. Batteries don't store as much energy in a given weight or a tank size. Your house's oil tank can be filled in the summer and store that oil until cold weather sets in with virtually no loss. Batteries won't do that, either. Yet electricity can replace some uses of oil. For now, let's adopt Al Gore's bold vision and imagine 100% renewable generation of electricity within 10 years. Further, let's pretend that we can wave a magic wand and make that supply of electricity unlimited. Given an unlimited supply of electricity, how could we use it to substitute for oil? Only a tiny percentage of electricity in the U.S. is generated using oil, so there is little to be gained by replacing the oil with other fuels. Transportation. Now that's where the big oil uses are in the United States. Cars, trucks, buses, and airplanes account for 2/3 of U.S. oil consumption. Cars are the single biggest users, guzzling about 25% of all the oil we use. Plug-in hybrid cars could replace most of their gas use with electricity. Plug-in hybrids charge their batteries from the electric grid. For shorter trips, the batteries and an electric motor are all that's needed. For longer trips, a gas tank and gasoline engine provide the extra range. For many users, almost all daily trips could be within the range of the batteries, dropping gasoline use to nearly nothing. Other options are completely battery-driven cars or cars that run on hydrogen made with electricity from water. All this would take time. Even for technologies that have been successfully demonstrated, like electric cars, it takes time to gear up factories and begin production. Even if all the new cars and light trucks purchased from today onward were plug-in hybrids, it would still take 10 to 15 years to replace half the existing fleet at the rate people buy new vehicles. And, as world oil production declines, the economy is wobbling. In hard economic times, people tend to hold on to what they have rather than buying replacements, so the turnover time is becoming even longer. That's probably why Gore advocates subsidizing car companies to produce and sell plug-in hybrids. Electrifying buses, trolleys, and trains is also possible. These, too, take time and money. In sum, there's only room for marginal short-term replacement of oil with electricity. 2/3 of U.S. oil use is for transportation, and it would take a couple decades to retool our vehicles and our rails so that large amounts of electricity could power cars, buses, and trains. To be fair, Gore's proposal is focused primarily on phasing out coal by the end of the decade, and that would have a tremendous effect in reducing U.S. emissions of greenhouse gases. At a time when world oil exports are dropping, and projected to continue to drop, renewable electricity is not much of a solution for reducing oil dependence. A lot more reduction in oil use will probably come from simply less moving of our bodies and our stuff. As during World War II, people will ask, "Is this trip really necessary?" before going anywhere. We might even discover more of the treasures of our own country and become better friends with our neighbors. I'm Carl Etnayer, and that's this week's Peak Oil Check-In.
Peak Oil Check-In was produced by Relocalizing Vermont Productions in association with WGDR Plainfield.